A rare corruption scandal hits Singapore. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and a very good morning to you. Singapore's Transport Minister, Esiswaran, has resigned after facing multiple charges of corruption. It's alleged she took kickbacks worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, something he denies. It's a rare corruption scandal in a city-state that prides itself on its squeaky clean government. The BBC's Mariko Oi is in Singapore, and she's on this story. Hi, Mariko.
Hi, Leanna. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. So what are the charges against him?
He was given 27 charges, including two for corruption. And some of the details that we found out was that he got some tickets to concerts and also to the Grand Prix. Of course, he, Mr. Iswaran, and a property tycoon called Ong Beng Seng, they were arrested back in July, but they worked very closely to bring the Grand Prix to Singapore back in 2008. He has pleaded not guilty and denied all the charges, but he has still resigned as a minister as well as a lawmaker.
And what's next in that case? What comes next for him?
So he is set to stand trial, so we still don't know when that will be. You know, this case has been really gripping the city-state because, as you know, Singapore has a reputation for clean governance. So this is, in a way, the biggest political scandal to hit the nation in four decades.
Yeah, I think the last time there was a corruption case I read was in 1986. So some might think corruption case, not a big deal. But in Singapore, it is, right? Because normally it has like a really squeaky clean government.
Yes, absolutely. As you said, the last time was in 1986. Now, one of the reasons that the public was so angry about it, especially when they were arrested, those ministers and lawmakers here in Singapore, they are, you know, some of the best paid lawmakers in the world. In fact, lawmakers get $12,000 a month. Ministers get $35,000 a month. Now, Mr. Iswaran has been on a reduced salary of about $6,000 per month, but he has now said that he will return all the money that he has earned since the investigation started, even though he has always maintained that he is innocent.
All right, Mariko Oi, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, let's do the numbers. Shares of luxury watch retailer Watches of Switzerland plummeted 25% in London after issuing a profit warning. Meanwhile, the price of gold hit a one-month low as traders dumped precious metals and treasuries as hope for a March rate cut from the Fed is dimming a little bit. The days of having to remember hundreds of different passwords could soon be the thing of the past as firms like Google introduced the use of passkeys as a default login for online users. But with the rise of deepfake technology, is any method of verifying our identities completely secure? The BBC's cyber correspondent Joe Tidy has been investigating.
How safe is your face?
Now we're inside the fraud lab.
At online identity experts on Fido, they ask this question every day. Surrounded by an impressive collection of different types of masks, Simon Horswell tries to think like a criminal and trick online facial ID systems used to verify customers on the apps of large companies, including banks.
These masks, as you can see, they vary in quality. And the trick there is some of them might look similar to the person that's on the document. But what we've found increasingly over the last few years, certainly, is that we've found more and more what I would call professional fraudsters. They've started using deep fakes in the biometric side of it.
Can I have a look at some of the technology?
Sure, by all means. So it's, at the moment, I think I've got it on my face. So if you just pop into the camera, you'll see that you actually...
So I could be you a second.
Right now, yeah.
Within a second, my face, as seen on the camera, switches to Simon's.
Yeah, that's my smart. Now, what I could do as well, because you sent us a single front-on shot, and again, this isn't from the video you sent.
This is from a still picture?
Yep, and I could have done this from an image on the internet, and now we're both you.
So weird.
At the moment, fraud experts like Simon are able to pick up on fakes, but things are about to get a whole lot busier for people like him, as the world is moving rapidly towards a new technology that uses Face ID and other methods to protect our lives online. The new system is all the rage in tech keynote presentations.
Passkey.
So what are passkeys and why are they the future? If you think of an online login as a door, the current system of passwords is like a code. As long as someone has it, they can get in. A passkey is like a doorman, checking your code and your ID pass. Online services use your phone or computer to verify who you are with a thumbprint, facial ID, or the unlock code. It takes a bit longer to set up a passkey compared to the trusty old password method we've always done. So why the big shift? Well, it's because although convenient, passwords are not trusty at all. They're a terrible way to secure accounts. Corey Macy hacks into companies, with permission, for a living.
I would say that if a company is restricting things only by password, they're 100% vulnerable. We will always get in. People are really bad when they create passwords. 9 out of 10 times when I go into an environment and I try the password summer 2023 or winter 2023, you're going to get a few accounts.
Over the years, it has become possible to make passwords safer if you're willing to put in the work.
First of all, of course, you've got to have really complex passwords across every different online service. Impossible to remember, so then you need a password manager. Then you need to have multi-factor authentication as well. So if you try and log into a service that you don't normally have on, let's say this device, it's a hassle.
It's no surprise, really, that security experts have largely failed to persuade people to jump through all the hoops. It'll take years for passwords to be phased out.
Right, now I need to put that password into this account.
And no doubt criminals will come up with new ways to get around passkeys. But overall, the cybersecurity world is hoping that 2024 will be the year that the happy death of the password begins. I'm the BBC's Joe Tidy for Marketplace.
And finally, literary critics in Japan are divided over the announcement by an author who won a prestigious award that her book was partially written with the help of artificial intelligence. Rhea Kudan said about 5% of her novel, Sympathy Tower, was generated by ChatGPT. She said AI had helped her to unlock her creativity. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. My producer today was James Graham, and I'm Leanna Byrne. As ever, thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.